You're listening to KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio out of Round Mountain in Bella Vista. And this is Jim Dowling, and we are doing a special program called KKRN Presents. In this broadcast, I will be interviewing Araceli Gutierrez. She is with the Northern California Vaccine Alliance. And we will be discussing the many hurdles that the COVID-19 vaccination has encountered in dealing with certain segments of our population, namely people of color, low-income people, people with disabilities. So thank you very much for coming in, Araceli.
Thank you for inviting me, Jim.
Yeah. And before we jump into a couple of questions here, tell us a little bit about what you do and what we're going to talk about today.
Okay, so my name is Araceli Gutierrez, and I'm a community promoter to the Hispanic and Latino communities and those that are low income or with disabilities, and helping bridge a gap between businesses and organizations and educate our community of where to go when things like this, like the pandemic, right? Where do they go? Who do they talk to? And how do we get there?
Okay. Well, that's important work.
It is.
Okay, our first question. Can you describe the response of these groups to the COVID-19 vaccine and how it differs from the general population?
I think that the response of these groups was a little bit of confusion and misinformation that was getting put out there, right? Not knowing who the resource, where were the resources, who was the, you know, person that was educating the community. In this place, it would be public health department, right? I think people were afraid to talk about it to see if it was true or not because of like the past history of every 10 years and the census. It's like people don't know. They don't know where to go, what to believe, and their language, the language barrier, right? Of how are they going to communicate if they call? Is there going to be somebody that's going to understand how I feel or understand the questions I'm asking at my level?
And so who are they calling at this point?
I'm current president for Latino Outreach at Tehama County, and it's a group of volunteers, and we help bridge the gap between resources, businesses, and the Hispanic Latino communities in the rural area. So we have like Los Molinos, Vina, Rancho Tehama, Corning, Gerber, Perberta, and more, right? So we started getting emails, we started getting calls like, hey, is this true? What do I do? What are the symptoms? I'm sick. I heard I shouldn't get the shot. What, you know?
Wow.
And so what we started doing is like connecting with public health department, right? And asked, what are some things that we can give education to these people, so because we're trusted community leaders, right? So they know that the information we give them is going to help them, whether they choose to accept it or not, that's on them.
Sure.
Because everybody has their own beliefs.
Absolutely. In fact, I imagine one of the big hurdles there is establishing real trust.
Yes.
You know, that's the problem, I think, with social media these days. You doesn't matter how or what you believe, you can find a support group that's going to make you feel good about it. You know?
Yes.
Doesn't matter how harebrained it might be.
Yeah. And I think also what helped us is that we're Latino Outreach has been around since 1997. But every board member sitting at the table has, you know, that experience and knowledge in health, education, and jobs. And those are the most needed in our counties, right? People are always seeking the information. And we all sit on different boards, not just Latino Outreach, but I was born and raised in Tehama County. Fernando, he's another board member, and he's well known in Tehama County and other counties and our businesses and organizations. So, you know, having trusted community leaders, it helps bridge that gap.
Okay, yeah, sounds good. We're talking about a lot of misinformation and disinformation out there. What are some of the ideas you're hearing?
So some of the, I believe that part of the problem of the misinformation or disinformation is, for example, we had someone that reached out to us and said, hey, you know, I'm diabetic. I see on social media that if you're sick, don't get the shot because you're going to die. And this is a way that they're going to kill us, right? The government. Yeah. I mean, like, I said, okay, well, go see your provider, your family doctor. So they go to see the family doctor, and the family doctor has its own beliefs, right? Even though he's in the medical field, he was telling the client, don't do it. This is fake. It's just a stunt. And, you know, it's don't listen to anything that public health or, you know, higher specialists are telling us to educate our people.
Oh, boy.
So she comes back and she's like, this is what my doctor said. And I don't know who to believe or to who to trust. So we connected them with like the registered nurse from public health, like in educating them, like, hey, you know what? Come sit down. This is what it is. Or even just from with a phone call, because at that time they weren't able to see clients, right? Everything was like by phone or telemedicine. And they went and picked up gloves. They picked up the mask. She said, I'm not ready for the shot. Let me think about it. But when it hit her home, then it was like, let's all get vaccinated.
Okay, there you go.
And I think that's, you know, what, you know, and that person was elder, but she was known in the community and she shared her story.
Good.
And then it just, everybody just, okay, she did it. I'm going to do it. Right.
She did,
and it's
just
that.
And I think that, you know, it's true of a lot of people as the pandemic worsened. There wasn't plenty of evidence out there that we need to do something, and the vaccine seems to be working for some people. I mean, that's just logic there.
Yeah, and that goes back to where, you know, our parents vaccinated us. They believed in it, right? Like the mumps and the measles and all that. And me, as I'm taking my children to school, those are decisions that I'm going to make as a mom, right? If those were my parents' beliefs, those are my beliefs. And, you know, but I did ask my children, like, do you want to get vaccinated or not? I'm going to get vaccinated. If you don't want to, that's fine. So some did and some didn't.
Right.
And I respect that. Right. And I think it comes down to that. Let's respect how you feel and think and understand.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the way the world works.
Not shame on anybody or put them
not
down.
Shame. Yes. Good point. Which outreach or education efforts have had success? Can you specifically describe some things that have worked well? I know you've already mentioned that getting respected members of the community to help with a message. Anything in education?
Absolutely. Being on the radio, right? You have a voice and you reach a big population, especially when you're an influencer or a micro influencer,
sure,
right?
Sure.
People already know that the information you put out there is good for them. So I use my radio talk show in Spanish to put out this information, right? So then it's just like the followers and the questions and more people started coming. And then all I had to do was like, hey, go talk to this person at public health. Hey, go talk to this person at Salvation Army if you need food. Go call this number. And it was just like literally a referral, resource person. It was pretty cool, but then it can get overwhelming, right? Where people are wanting answers and more and more and more. But I think, you know, having the radio talk show helped, and going live, right? Going live where they did the commodities. Hey, if you need food, this is where you can come. Drive up. Because I also
like
did that with Dignity Health.
Yeah.
You know, Connected Living, I believe. And then also going out there and setting up those clinics where people can come and get vaccinated in a private room. I think that was successful. I know it was.
sure. So, Araceli, why don't you tell us a little bit about your radio program, and maybe we can find listeners out there that want to tune in.
Yeah, so it's actually Araceli's Centro Social, means community hub, right? So where I just put out information of new programs, free events to the community. And recently there was a layoff at Anderson & Sons where we have a bunch of job seekers. So because they've worked there for like 20 years, they're like, who's going to hire me, right? So it's like my next show, it's going to be on 94.3 Laser Media, and it's here in Shasta County, and it reaches Orland, Glen County.
Oh, great.
Where I'm going to go on there and just speak about, you know, where, how do you prepare your resume, how to do reference letters, because they haven't had to do that for years. Where are these free programs so we can have, like, some people moved back to Reading or Glen or Chico, right, to start a new life. So what I'll do is I'll just give out the information where to go, depending on what city you are, where do you go, you know. And also the Corning Chamber is doing a food drive for these families because they're not working. They need a food, they don't have a check. So we're going to announce, like, where can you go get these resources? And it's okay to go. You know, we don't know. Maybe something can happen to me. I can get disabled. I'm doing well right now, but maybe tomorrow or in a week or a month from now, something, a tragic can happen and I lose everything, right? Yeah. So one thing that I always say on my show is, like, it doesn't matter where you're at in life or your career. If you need the services, go get them. Put your ego aside because we all need them at one time.
Yeah, I imagine in some communities, and I might be wrong here, but there's a little stigma to getting COVID. Oh, I got it. You got it. You must have done something wrong.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Everybody was embarrassed to say, like, I got COVID. You know, oh, you're dirty. No, yeah. It comes.
It's out there.
Like, just like the flu.
Yeah.
You can get it. It's not that you're dirty. It's just, it's out there. There's germs, viruses out there. And you don't, you know, you can go to the store, you can just standing next to someone, right?
Yeah.
And I know, like, in the last 2 weeks, I know people that have gotten COVID, you know, and they're like, where do I go get more masks? Where do I go test it? You know, where can I get antibiotics? You know, it's like, just go in there, or they'll come out, they'll give it to you, or send someone.
How can health providers and public health officials build trust? Well, it's through communication. And engage in culturally sensitive communications with these residents. Now, when I read that question, I'm thinking people like me, you know, I'm Caucasian and I want to build trust with the Hispanic community.
Yeah.
What can I do?
I think being present at events, just showing up. Mm-hmm. You know, I chaired the Hispanic Heritage with Viva Downtown last year. And I invited a lot of friends, a lot of people. They hadn't gone to a cultural event, right? They haven't celebrated with us. And I think that there's, like in our culture, there's good and bad people. In Americans, there's good and bad people, right? But we're here. I'm Mexican-American. I want my children and the people here to get educated in what our celebration is. It's not what you hear. It's not what you see on social media. You know, we had the baile folklorico, we had the dancing horses. That's our celebration. No alcohol, no drugs, no vaping, and no smoking.
Cool.
We can have a great time, and this is our culture. This is what it's about.
All right. So mention a few of the celebrations that come to Reading that you can think of, or are local. Yeah.
Okay, so this year we're going to host Hispanic Heritage again with Viva Downtown here on Market Street.
Yeah.
And then we light up the Sundial Bridge for Hispanic Heritage,
ooh,
the
like
15th
it.
And 16th. And I know Lydia Monzo, she does the Cinco de Mayo, you know, and hopefully she'll be able to bring Dia de los Muertos, right? And it's not a holiday. That's just something to pay your respect to your deceased loved ones. You know, it's just something where you can go and, you know, say a prayer, or we can all pray together, or have that piece of bread with coffee and share our emotions and just let go of whatever feelings and celebrate their life, you know? Other things that we've, in Reading, that's what all that I know that is going on.
Sure. Well, it's important that, you know, if you're going to, I'm going to use the word crossover, but if you're going to understand.
Help bridge the gap.
Help bridge the gap. You need to go to these things and find out what they're all about and see the beauty in it.
Yes.
Yeah. How can we better support access to vaccines? How can we deal with the barriers such as transportation and language that may prevent residents from getting vaccinated?
I think one of the things that, you know, I have years of background on being in the medical field, is that some people don't know what benefits their insurance covers, right? Like, the first thing that people are like, well, how much is it going to cost me? You know, partnership, California Health and Wellness, and at that time, I believe it was Anthem Blue Cross. for the state Medi-Cal. They were providing transportation services at that time. And but the, they weren't putting it out there, right? They weren't calling their clients. What else do you need?
Oh.
You know, and I think that's something, that's still something that the insurance can follow up with their members that are under them. Like, hey, do you need transportation? Are you okay? How are you doing? The COVID, you know, how are you protecting yourself? And one of the things is that if they do that, it's going to, it's all preventative. So where the client or the patient's not going to go already sick to the doctor.
Yeah. And in the long run, that insurance company benefits.
Yes.
People aren't getting sick.
They're healthier. They're, you know, so it's good lifestyle.
Sure. What are some of the lessons we've learned from COVID-19 that'll help us prepare for a health crisis and ensure equitable distribution and support for using the vaccines?
I know I'm working with an organization right now where we're already putting it out there, right? This is a season where people are going to get sick, and we've already had a rise on some COVID cases. So we know that between September and January, we're going to educate people, whether it's on the radio, TV, social media. Don't forget to wash your hands. Make sure you do this. It's just keeping up with those things, because you can put it, if people will forget. They're so busy in their life that sometimes a little reminder, they'll be like, okay, I better take precaution. I better wipe this down.
Oh,
you know,
sure.
Another thing is people are being more respectful of not, if they don't know if they don't know if they have COVID or not, but if they're sick, they stay at home. And I respect that, because I'm not trying to get sick, you know,
right.
Or the parents too, you know, they're not sending their kids to school if they're sick or they're having any symptoms. You know, and I think that the schools are doing great and understanding. It's like if a child, if the mom calls in, it's like, hey, my son has a fever. They got the chills or it's got a cough. They're not like on their heads, like, why isn't your child at school?
Good.
You know, yeah. And that was one of the concerns for parents. It's like, you know, oh my goodness, like my child, they can't go to school for 2 weeks. You know, am I going to lose my job? You know, and employers and schools are working good and not like schooling the parents and the kids with that.
Well, that's nice to hear. That's
yeah.
Good. That's good. So, Araceli, who are some specific people and organizations that people in the future can connect with for information and support?
I would say your local public health department, and then also North Valley Catholic Social Services. We have United Way, 211. We have Salvation Army, you know, depending on where they live, that's, you know, then that's, make sure first you go to your public health department and ask, what time are you open? Do you guys have masks, hand sanitizers? They give them out to the public for free. And even COVID test kits, right? Where you just want to be ready to see if you get that first symptom. Those are the people that you need to connect with and follow on social media if they have that, because they will post very educational information for you or a family member or a friend.
Mm-hmm. So you reach people from Orland North?
Yes.
And do you find there's a much difference in the kind of information they are handed out from community to community? Or
there is. Actually, I experienced something during COVID here in Shasta County. And, you know, I raise my voice. I'm the type of person that's like, you have to make it right. I don't care what your beliefs are. You know, I was doing the flyer for COVID and to register people on Medi-Cal because the offices were closed. So there was a program where we would go and put this information in commodity bags. And one of the churches, which I was very surprised, it was actually my church. I'm Catholic. So I came up to Reading, and one of the volunteers there that was setting everything up was like, she called me after the work hours after that. And she said, I don't want you bringing the flyers here anymore. I said, excuse me. And she's like, well, I believe that, you know, if you're here in the U.S., then I don't feel that you should be in Spanish. So she didn't know who I was.
I have to laugh.
She didn't know who I was or who I worked with or my partners.
Yeah.
So I went straight to the Diocese of Sacramento. I filed a complaint. I filed a complaint with Ms. Magana, and I filed a complaint with Elsa. Elsa is a secretary administrative for Father Chuck in Rebloff, and Ms. Magana is a teacher for the youth, right, and does all these programs. And we were raised and we're all friends and family. We're family through church. You know, this is somewhere where I did all my sacraments. And I was like, if she's telling me this, what is she telling other people that are showing up and picking up these commodity bags? And so I think that we just have to raise our voices.
Yeah.
Right. And stop that, because we are all humans. We have to be kind. We all have to be respected. And when I wrote that email and complaint, I did say this is the reason why people stop coming to church, because you get people like this. And if she called me just to tell me this on her own time. And so they fixed that, right?
Good. So. Well, I hope somebody got a little embarrassed by it. I was a high school teacher one time, and I've always thought bilingual is the way to go. You know, teach kids another language and they learn another culture.
Yeah.
Shut off the language and you shut off a lot of learning.
Yes.
And a lot of sensitivity.
Yeah.
So, okay. How do you think living experience shaped perspective on COVID and vaccinations?
I think that prior to COVID, everybody was like gathering and doing this, going here and going there. And COVID slowed everybody down. Like, okay, maybe I can do my grocery shopping in my own town instead of going, you know, to another county, right? Mm-hmm. Or making sure that people who associate, you know, you associate with them less. Like, you don't meet them personally. You can talk on the phone, right? Where, you know, you're not getting each other sick or, you know, those things. But it has slowed things down. And I think this is why it's also affecting local businesses. People are saving money. One, mm-hmm. because if they get sick, they have to, the check's not going to come. So they have to save enough money for future emergencies, or if we get shut down again. We don't know. So people are preparing themselves for if it happens again, you know, a generator, right? PG&E shuts everything down with the fires. So they think twice before spending a dollar.
Okay.
And going out.
Sure. Yeah. Especially in this economy too.
Yeah.
You know? Okay. So, what are some of the strategies moving forward? COVID seems to be on the uptick right now.
Yes.
And we've learned a lot from the past. You want to talk a little bit about what your plans are?
So our plan for our next campaign is we went back and gathered all the reports of all the social media posts that we put out there, and which ones people engaged more or were responding to more. So we know that in every county, we have to get a list of medical facilities or public health departments, the hours and the times that they're open, if they do walk-in visits, right? Or where can they pick up their testing for COVID kits, and also where to get food if you're at home, right? There's actually a program where they will bring you food. I believe it's 211. You call 211, and if you're at home and your family needs food, then they, as long as you're within the city limits, within the city limits, they'll deliver the commodities to you, right? Where you don't have to go out and have to worry about doing grocery shopping and feeding your family. And
who's doing that?
211.
211.
Yeah.
Okay.
They did it in they're amazing. They're amazing. And also for those that do long term, right, with the COVID where they're sick for a month or two, is helping them get enroll for benefits. If they worked and now they're sick and they get on disability, there's a program. They have someone come and help you fill out your claim form online, and they can also help like the elderly connect with whatever it has to do with your device. If they need to like look on Social Security and see what their benefits are, why it changed, or set up an appointment, they have someone that can go to these people's homes and help them. And they realized, I think, during COVID is that these people needed this. Some people weren't tech savvy or didn't have a family member to help them how to get out there and get these services, that now we have people that are moving in different counties and regions to be able to help bridge that gap.
Yeah. Is this all, are we talking 2-1-1?
It's just
2-1-1's the food delivery.
The food delivery, yeah. But there's, oh my goodness, her name is, I believe, is Alicia Chavez. And that one, I believe it was through Shiga contract work. She's up and down and just setting up appointments with people that need help and training on how to use the device, how to seek services, you know, because some don't have transportation.
Right.
Right. Or some, it just...
Well, a lot of people, including myself, are not that tech savvy, and it'd be really nice to have somebody help you out with the computer aspect of this.
Yeah, I'll have to. I put everything on my social media, but it's just if anybody wants that information or go look through everything that I post, it's under RSL Gutierrez. Easy to find.
RSL Gutierrez.
Yeah. And I cover mostly Glen, Tehama, and Shasta County because that's who was engaging with us in our post for all the COVID education. So those were my target audience and still are.
Okay, RSL, is there anything you want to say to wrap this up? Because we are starting to run a little short of time.
Yeah, I think that whoever's listening to this message or this conversation is just to be respectful of the other person that's in front of you. You don't know what their condition is, and they have the right to make their own decision. Whether you're with them and believe in, or you know, if they ask you for information, just give it to them. Mm-hmm. They'll decide what to do with it.
Good, good. That's a good message. I really appreciate you coming in.
Absolutely.
Been very informative. It sounds like you got a great radio show. I'm going to listen.
Thank you.
Yeah. When are you on?
It's going to, right now I'm not on, so it'll go back on the middle of September because I'm on a little vacation.
Sure. So okay, great.
I'll send you the link.
Okay. Well, thanks for coming in and
thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, you do good work.
It. Thank you.
You do great work. So you have been listening to my interview with Araceli Gutierrez. She's with the NorCal Vaccine Alliance. I hope you learned something from it. I certainly did. And you're listening to KKRN, 88.5 FM Community Radio. We are listener supported. Your donation means a lot to us. It keeps us on the air. If you want to help out, go to kkrn.org. And hit that donate button. Or here's another option. Maybe you got an old car or truck in the driveway. You want to get rid of it? Go to careasy.org. You can donate it to KKRN. They'll walk you through it. It's pretty easy. All right. Hope you all have a nice day. And we're gonna say goodbye.